I'm Shane, and I'm the Minister of Adult Education and Pastoral Care here. And it is such a great thing to be here with you this morning. Welcome again to our visitors to First Colony. Before I was here, I spent 11 years as a missionary in Uganda. I was one of the original team members that this church sent to Uganda in 1997. How I wish you could know those dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are now in Christ because you sent us. But of course, the cool thing is, because you sent us, one day you will know them. And that is an amazing thing to me. That is a wonderful thing. After returning to the U.S. in 2008, though, I spent some time as a missionary among some of the most pagan, heathen, unreached people you can imagine. I was a missionary manager over here at the Chick-fil-A on Highway 6. And let me tell you, talk about a strange tribe. I'm still trying to learn Sugarlandese, but... You know, I do want to say 11 years as a missionary overseas was such a blessing to me. And what a privilege to be a part of God's mission, amen? And we were blessed to be able to do it with dear friends for teammates. We were blessed to be able to go on mission together as God's people. There is no greater blessing than that. When you are doing that, you are really living, let me tell you. But perhaps... the biggest blessing of being a missionary was that it made my feet so beautiful. See, there's some great fringe benefits to being a missionary, and I just, maybe, Kim, you can help me out and just verify that my feet are very beautiful. No, he's not so interested, actually. Would you rather me just prove it with Scripture?
Yes.
He's happier with that. Okay, well, it's true. It does make your feet beautiful, and I want to direct your attention to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Thankfully, there is scriptural evidence for this. I don't have to take off my shoes this morning. Let's read from Romans chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, here it comes, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I present beautiful feet. But did you know that you all have beautiful feet? Did you know that? Whenever you go with the good news of Jesus, you have beautiful feet. And here are four inescapable truths from these verses. You can fill in the blanks on the back of your order of worship. We'll go through these right quick. First, the Lord saves all, it says, who come to him. The Lord saves all who come to him. And that leaves us with three groups of people. There are people who need to hear this message. Secondly, third thing is there are people who need to go. And then lastly, there are people, there are churches that need to send. Okay, and so that's why we support missions here at First Colony Church of Christ. We're asking everyone to join in this partnership. Give whatever you can today, later, and our missions contribution. Email a missionary. Ask them, what can you send them? Email a missionary. Ask them, how can you pray for them? Pray for our mission efforts, please. It means so much. And if you like, you could take a former missionary out to lunch. That's okay, too. Really, I mean, knock yourself out. It's supporting missions still. Yeah. Now, I'm so glad to be a part of a church that supports missions like this church does. And I can personally testify to the amazing support, the encouragement, the partnership that you guys have given the Uganda mission over the years. I will always cherish that, and it's still special to me. And the gospel must be planted in new places where it has yet to take root. And that's why the Lord called our team in 1997 to go, and that's why the Lord called First Colony Church to send us. And I wish I had time to just recount the whole story of how God really called this church to do that, to do something bigger than we could do. And guess what? God can still do bigger than we think we can do. Amen? The mission over there is still going strong because of God's faithfulness and because of our Phase 2 team members' faithfulness to go. But I want you to know that the mission of God is not just over there in Uganda or Honduras or Italy or Haiti or Peru. It's not just over there. It's also right here. It's not really missions, but rather the mission of God with a big M, the big M mission. And so this beautiful message, this great news that we're forgiven, we're restored and renewed, we're offered life that is full and eternal and free. Our broken lives can be made whole, our wounds healed, our sins forgiven. And there's a Father who is running down the road to meet us because he wants all to be saved. Amen? The good news message is also ours to tell. The big M mission is for all followers of Jesus Christ. I want to speak just a moment to those of you who may not be followers of Jesus who are in here. On the one hand, I want to ask for your understanding. As we kind of deal with a family issue here, as members of Jesus' family here, we do want to take seriously our call to share with others the life we have found in Christ. But on the other hand, I also think it's important that you know this if you're not a follower of Jesus, that saying yes to the forgiveness and grace that is offered by Jesus is also saying yes to joining his mission. There's no way around it. He doesn't want to just save you. He wants to enlist you. He wants you to join the movement. So I want to bring our attention now to the Jesus words at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Here, the same words are true for us today. Whether we've heard these a million times or this is our first time to hear them, let's try to hear them anew. Jesus is speaking after his death, after his resurrection, and he's one of his last appearances and to his disciples. He says, it says in verse 16, Matthew 28, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. When Jesus came to them, and he said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go,'" or really the accurate translation is, "'as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.'" They have an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. They worship him just as we have done today. He tells them, "Go, my followers, and make more followers. Go share this wonderful life-changing news. Jesus is risen." It's important. It's a matter of life and death, and it's a call that we followers of Jesus must take seriously, and it has profound implications for how we view our own lives, our very identity as Christians. Am I someone who has been saved by Jesus? Yes. Am I part of a great church? Oh, yeah. Am I a student of Christ, a lifelong apprentice of Jesus? I sure hope so. Am I living on mission with Jesus as I follow him? Do I live with a sense of the Lord's calling in my life? Let me say it once more. Jesus doesn't want to just save us. He wants to radically transform our lives and enlist us in his mission. And so we live on mission for God. And as surely as we say, yeah, we go to church, this mission compels us to go, church. We have to go, church. Let me describe a scene for you. There are three guys, and they're going to catch a train. And they're in a deep conversation, and they're just so involved in it, they don't hear the train pulling up. And so they're so in their conversation, but the train starts to pull away or starts to kind of get going, and one of them hears that, and there's a mad scramble for the train, and two of the three guys barely manage to get on the train. And the third guy just doesn't make it. And he's dejected, he's frustrated, you know, and he's like, man. One of the railroad officials has seen all this. He comes up and says, "Hey, we'll get you on the next train. It's okay. And hey, your buddy's made it, so, you know, two out of three ain't bad." And the guy says, "Yeah, but those two guys were just here to send me off." We got to go, church, when we're called to go. And we're not called to only gather in Jesus' name, though it's great to do so. Neither are we called to just gather together and grow, although growing in Christ-likeness is crucial to us as followers of Jesus. But we don't want to just say here at First Colony, two out of three ain't bad. Uh-uh. We need to gather, grow, and go. So let's don't just go to church. Let's go, church, around the world and around the corner. You might be saying, okay, Shane, so how do we do this going? How do we share? You know, is God calling us to stand over there under the Highway 59 overpass? Something like this? Is that going to work? Is your heart just moved to Jesus? Probably not. What about we go to the Texans game? Hold up this one. A little better. Wait a minute. Could we get season tickets on the mission budget? Raise your hand if you're up for that. Everyone good? All right. Especially this year. You know, that's not going to cut it. Let's look at another thing that Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5. How do we go? He says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Praise your Father in heaven." How do we go? As we go, we let our light shine. And we can let our light shine bigger and brighter if we get it more watts. I want to say we want to crank up the wattage. As we share Christ and shine our light, first of all, on the back of your order of worship, you can fill this in, we must be witnesses. We must be witnesses. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice it says witnesses. So let me ask you, what does a witness do? If you're a witness to a crime or an accident, they call you up to witness stand. What are they going to ask you to do? They're going to ask you to share what you know. They're going to ask you to share what you know. What do you know about Jesus? What is your experience of him? Let's share what we know about Jesus. Any chance we're on the witness stand, which is always. I want to talk about a guy named Yarahanga Joseph, one of our first Christians and first leaders in Uganda. He was the guy saying thank you at the end of the video. Byarahanga, from the get-go, when we met him, he was on fire. Some of you who know Byarahanga, there's people in here who've stayed in his house, and you know he is on fire for Jesus. His job was to push his bicycle full of bananas from his village where he grew them to town. Now, those stalks each weigh at least 50 pounds, if not 60, sometimes 70. And he pushes them to town, and all the boys would push their banana stalks to town. And as he's going, I'm telling you, this guy's always saying, well, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you what Jesus did for me? Can I tell you what Jesus means to me? Eventually, he was always inviting his neighbors over for meals, even though he didn't have much, and he still does to this day. Eventually, he got his own shop to sell bananas in a trading center, and he's evangelizing that little trading center now. Grant Wright, who was up here earlier for announcements, he was one of our mission interns in 2003, and he still remembers clearly going to spend the night at Joseph's house. I was talking to Grant about this the other day, and he said, we got there, and Joseph said, here's some tea, and then come on, let's go visit some homes. It's time to go talk about Jesus. I mean, right there. Joseph just loves to talk about Jesus and witness to what Jesus means for him. And let me tell you, you have a story as well. And you can testify and witness to the ways Jesus has made a difference in your life. You can share what you know about Jesus. One of the best things we could do probably is to get our story down, to write out our testimony, to get it prepared and clear without Christian lingo or jargon and just write it out. To give a sincere telling of what Christ has done in our lives, what was my life like before Christ? What caused me to turn to Christ? What has changed? If you haven't got that down, that would be a great homework assignment. We are witnesses. What will you say when you have your opportunity, when it's your turn for the witness stand? Secondly, we are ambassadors. We're witnesses and we're ambassadors. What's an ambassador's job? He not only speaks for the nation, though he does that like a witness, but he represents, doesn't he? He is the representation of our nation. It means one sent as a resident representative. Let me ask you a question. Do you see yourself as one who is sent on mission? It's hard to see yourself as one who's sent on mission when we feel at home in our own culture. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Let me tell you about another guy in Uganda. His name is Mpari. That's Mpari, and that's how you spell that name. Mpari, his name means pants. It does. It's because he had one pair of pants. They were all shredded up and old because he was the village drunk. He didn't work his land because he was drunk all day, and he was the laughing stock of the village. As I started to teach in his village around the year 2000, Mpari started coming to the meetings and listening. One day, he said to me, I'm going to give up this drink and I'm going to start following Jesus. And I said, what? Because I still hadn't learned the language really well. And he helped me understand, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to stop drinking. I thought, okay, sure. Well, it didn't happen overnight, but he kept coming. Sure enough, when we baptized the first 29 people to start that church, Mpari was among them. He did stop drinking. He began to work in his fields. He began to talk to people. He developed this great smile that we had never seen before. And Jesus changed his life. And people noticed. They were saying, weren't you that guy named Pants? Weren't you that drunk? That good for nothing? But he wasn't that guy anymore. You get it? He was a new creation. On top of all that, Mpati started telling people why he was different. He would walk to the market, and he'd pass by his old drinking buddies, and you know, they'd invite him, and he'd say, no, I'm following Jesus now. People would come by his house and see him working in his field, and they'd be amazed, and they'd say, wow, what happened to, you know, the drunk guy? And Mpati represented. May I ask you a few more questions? What has changed in you? How are you a new creation? Are you willing to let it shine? Are you willing to talk about it and show it? How could we live intentionally on mission as ambassadors of Jesus? Let's think about the places that we often go, our favorite restaurants, stores, the bank, coffee shops, wherever we frequent. Could I take time to go in and slow down a bit and be intentional about making connections, representing Christ, taking the next step to further that connection, and just see what God does with it? Let's think about work and school and neighborhoods. Could I start making those lunch conversations more intentional? When people express their frustrations, their hurts, their struggles, their pains, could I offer to pray for them? And could I follow up? Could I begin a more intentional habit of checking the mail or walking the dog at the same late afternoon time when everyone's kind of hanging out in the neighborhood? You know, those 2 weeks in November when it's not too cold, you know, it's not too hot. And could I intentionally stop and talk and listen and make connections? Could I walk around the neighborhood and use whatever I see as fuel for prayer? In Uganda, we were bridging cultures and learning a different language so that we could build relationships, so that we could share Christ. And that's, we were there living as ambassadors. But here's the trick. We're all here living as ambassadors here to live on mission as ambassadors of Jesus. In your bulletin there on the back, just at the bottom, there's just 10 ideas. And that's just to get your thinking going. There's many, many more. But how could I be more intentional? I asked Ronnie Wright, he's one of our members who will be here in second service. He is a missional guy. He lives on mission. And I asked him finally, I said, last week, I said, Ronnie, are you an insurance agent or are you a missionary? And he said, I'm a missionary. In fact, he said, my agency is my mission. He backed that up because a couple weeks ago, 4 people from his agency were baptized. The key is to be intentional as we live with that sense of mission and calling. How can I be that ambassador, building bridges, making connections? So we're witnesses, we're ambassadors, and finally we are called to be truth tellers, to crank up our watts. There comes a time to speak up. Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In a recent study, they asked 10,000 people, why do people come to Christ or visit a church? Now, 3% said it was because of the church programs. 5% said it was because they enjoyed the Bible classes. There were other small percentage things. 6% said it was because they liked the preacher. 58% said they liked that other preacher who used to be a missionary. Just seeing if you're awake. Where's Ronnie? I'm just kidding, man. No, 79% said they come to Christ or came to church first because they were invited, because somebody asked them. I think we sometimes forget the truth that the message of Jesus is powerful in its own right. It's not up to me. Our calling is to speak the truth, and God will work. Another one of our members, Steve Harris, also a very on-mission guy, he was testifying to this. He was sharing with me. He says, I love to talk about Jesus and matters of faith, and I always ask people, where do you go to church? He said, I don't ask them, do you go to church? He said, that might put them on the defensive. He said, and I think this is good. He said, where do you go to church? If they say, I don't, well, then he says, well, hey, come visit mine. It's a great, great strategy. He says, I always ask their permission before I talk about faith matters. I just ask. Could it be that simple? Just ask, hey, do you mind if I share something I learned from God? He said, I've never had one person say no, not even Muslims. They always say, sure, what do you want to tell me? And he says, I pray daily and ask for opportunities to have an influence on people, looking for people that God will bring across his path. So let's make a prayer list of the people we know. You might want to jot it down on your order of worship there and let it become your go list at some point in the near future. Jesus is the light of the world. And the world really does need Jesus. That's why we partner with these great mission efforts. But he also called us to be light right here in Sugar Land, to turn up the watts and be witnesses who who are looking for a chance to share what we know about Jesus. To be ambassadors, we live it, we fully represent, we intentionally live on mission as the tangible presence of Christ, making those connections at work, in our neighborhoods, wherever we go, as we go. And we are truth tellers. We are not afraid to say it. We prayerfully look for opportunities to share the great news of Jesus. We crank up the watts, and so let's don't just go to church. Let's go. Let's use our beautiful feet and go where God has us in the normal flow of our life and be witnesses and ambassadors and truth tellers. Supporting missions, yes, let's do that, and we're about to do that in a few minutes. Give to missions, and please pray for our missionaries, but also shine brightly living on mission for Jesus. At this time, I'd like to bring your attention to the communication cards in your order of worship. We'd like you to please take a moment and fill that out. Please note that there's a space on the back to write down prayer requests. You can check the appropriate box if you'd like to learn more about how to be a follower of Jesus and get to know Jesus, or how to become a member of this church or other ministries that are featured there. Our church leaders, you can also, list a prayer request on the back of that, and our church leaders would love to pray with you. We'll all put our communication cards in the offering plate in just a few moments when we take our missions offering. At this time, I'd like to ask our elders and their wives to start making their way down as we soon enter a time of prayer. I have three suggestions for us today. A little different for prayer time if you don't mind going with me at this. First, if you have any personal prayer requests, our elders are down here. They would love to pray with you. Others around you would love to pray with you. Secondly, pray for someone you know who doesn't know Christ. Pray for someone you know that needs Christ. And thirdly, you could pray for one of our mission efforts or all of them. You can come down and pray with our elders, or it would be awesome, I think, to see just clumps of people gathered all around praying for our mission efforts and praying for people this morning. I think that would be very appropriate. So as we stand now, please, let's stand and enter this time of prayer together.